The sound effects season.
Yeah, that's right. First episode of 2018, and we are into fall marathon training season.
Officially.
Yeah.
It's week three for 18-week plans for New York.
Yeah.
It's week way too many for Berlin.
And then I think it's like seven for Chicago.
Sounds right.
I'm on week three of my 16-week plan.
Yep.
Yeah. And we are all running New York.
Yeah.
And yes.
Brian is also running
Iceland.
The Reykjavik Marathon in Iceland in 2 weeks. Totally.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Before you wreck yourself.
I get it.
Yeah, you know, I'm a dad now, so I can have these jokes.
Not totally prepared for that one. Then we got Berlin coming up in September and New York.
So those are two long runs before New York?
Yeah.
Or is Berlin the goal race?
Berlin was the goal race, but at the point I'm feeling right now, I don't know if I'll be.
So Berlin 2019.
Yeah. London 2019. That's a
we'll go for that later.
Reykjavik was always supposed to be a long training run, but
now it's going to be really long.
Now it's going to feel really long. They say you're
crushing the goal.
What do you say? Your long training run shouldn't be more than 3 hours on your feet or four hours?
I've typically cut it off at 3.5.
Is that a thing?
This
I've
one
never,
might go
that.
Towards five.
Okay.
This year.
Oh, you're taking some photos, taking it in.
Yeah. Well, what's your marathon PR, Brian?
3:53.
And what's your slowest marathon?
4:59:02.
Oh, okay. So
I think I'll be in between.
Oh, okay. So over 5 hours would be.
Yeah, 2017 was the year of 4 hour marathons or sub four, and now that I don't have that pressure,
let's just go for 5 hours.
I'm shooting to get under five.
Let's go for a hike.
That is true. Yeah. I spent most of my marathoning, all my marathoning. Or becoming a dad, trying to get new PRs, and I got my best PR. I got my standing PR the year before I became a dad.
So that's how long you can stand at one point.
yes, and then in the year I became a dad, I also got a really bad ankle injury, so there was no PR that year. But I didn't complete the marathon with my slowest time, and then last year I had to skip it for a friend's wedding. So this is like kind of like my comeback year, but I feel like my days of marathon PRing are. And I'm completely fine with that. I'm doing it to like run the race and still run it hard, but not trying to get under that 2:327 mark.
Right.
But you haven't been injured this year, so how do you feel?
Are you fit? Are you just?
I feel great.
Healthy, undertrained.
I'm healthy. I'm fit. I'm definitely fit. This past weekend, I'm training with John and his Honor Camp 100 group. We had a long training run. And I ran the 3 miles to Williamsburg to get to the training run.
With Violet.
With Violet, you know, pushing a stroller and going at a decent pace because I was running late.
tempo run.
Yeah, it's always a way to get your pace up is to leave the house later than you expect.
And if anybody doesn't know Violet, you're just a podcast listener, check our Facebook page because we've done some live videos of her races at the NYR Rising Roadrunner.
Yeah, that's true. Or just follow @impossibility on Instagram, and you'll get all your Violet needs fixed. but yeah, so that's my toddler pushing her in the running stroller.
3 miles in.
Three miles to get to the store, and then we ran for like another almost 9 miles, and then or maybe another 8 miles, and then I went out just to finish it off. I was like, well, let me get that Strava half marathon badge, and made it a 13.1 mile run. And then I was too cheap to hire an Uber to take me home, so I ran 3 miles back to Brooklyn Heights, 16.2 miles on the day. Felt great.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was surprising, because I haven't run that distance in a long time.
It was pretty cool. I mean, it was warm and sunny, but it was, we did a couple bridges based on the Hunter Camp 100 vote on the Facebook page, which is closed, so if you're not in that group, sorry, but you'll get some tidbits in here, and special shout out to Brooklyn Running Company for hosting us.
Yeah, I'd never been there before. That's a great store.
Yeah, it's Matt Rossetti does a great job, and his some of his staff Steve and Will over there. I've done some events there. But it's really close to the Williamsburg Bridge. We actually, some of us, we did a 7-mile loop, and then we went out and back. I went George Mendez, our buddy, and it actually ended up being a preview of the Brooklyn Mile, which is an event we'll talk about coming up. But beautiful area. I usually run there and then run back, but I usually don't. I've never really started there. But it was my first run out of the Brooklyn Running Company, and we had a good turnout. We probably had about 30 or 40 runners.
Yeah, that's really good.
So, but 16 miles, that's a good sign.
Dude, yeah.
Weren't worse for the wear this week, or weren't beat up, or weren't dragging at all?
No, Brian and I, my family, we went to the beach that afternoon. I jumped in the ocean.
Cool, ice bath.
Perfect ice bath. And then I felt great on Sunday night and Monday. I didn't run on Monday, but I ran on Tuesday. I've run every day this week since, and I feel great.
That's a good, off to a good start.
Yeah,
I did 15 miles, I think. Yeah, I just hit 15 miles on Sunday, and I did about 14 the week before. Felt okay for about 10 miles, and then was dragging at the end. But, you know, I feel like I'm good enough that I can get through a marathon, but I need that extra, you know, what, 10 weeks we got until 12 weeks, 15 weeks till New York?
Yeah, it's about 13.
We're on week 3 of 16, so 13. We have 13 weeks.
6 weeks until Berlin, maybe? Sounds about right. 6 or 7 weeks till Berlin, so...
I have no idea. I'm not ready
might
for
be,
that race.
Might be okay by then. Just check my calendar, seeing what week it is, seeing what I'm supposed to do this week.
I should do. I have some Hunter Camp 100 folks that are also doing Berlin and Chicago and Philly or but those weeks creep up on
you. Should do some meetups for anybody... anyone to coordinate in the Hunter Camp 100 group, the Run Chat Facebook group.
I don't know when this is airing, but well, yeah, the next 3 Saturdays is the Summer Streets, which is always a fun, unique opportunity to...
No water slide, though.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Vita Coco case, is not doing the water slide.
Oh, and Vita Coco actually did.
They were very
sponsored
nice
our run.
I think they used up all their advertising budget at Brooklyn Running Company.
Well, I'm glad they did. My daughter is addicted to Vita Coco right now.
Yeah.
She
in Fortow coffee shop. Did you give her any of that?
I think I didn't share those with her. Those all came home with me. But the Vita Coco, when we were out on the run, she's like, "I want coconut water." And I said, "All right, you gotta wait till we get back to the store." And she's like, "No, no."
You should have brought one with you.
Next time. I did, but you know, the stroller's got good suspension, but not so good that like I'd trust the coconut water to land everywhere except her mouth.
Yeah, it's true. It's back to one of the marathon talks we did about how to hydrate properly on the course, and it does work better in your stomach versus all over your face.
Yeah,
and usually if you're just running a race, yelling out "I want coconut water" doesn't get you very far.
Right.
So she's learning those lessons.
That is true. Although I've
you
got to
plan that those hydration strategies. They don't just show up when you want them.
So Billy, you said that we were talking earlier before we went live, and we are actually podcasting live from my basement.
We're
at Ellie's bar and. My basement.
It's a lovely Windsor Terrace.
We're live on just a small tape delay.
And hopefully we're not talking too loud when my daughter wakes up. But But you were saying how the last, you know, between the injury and having a baby, that you were just trying to learn how to get your kind of feet underneath you again after becoming a dad and all the added stresses and less time. More time constraints, how that works out. Now you have the freedom to not like be super taskmastered about a certain sub 3:27. So you obviously want to run strong, feel good, enjoy the race. But what else? Tell us more about your marathon goals for this 2018 TCS New York City Marathon.
Sure. My goal this year is to have a strong race, not finish with my best time ever, but also not take it easy and finish as strong as I can. Like run the race and run it hard and enjoy it. I feel like a theme of my run chatting every episode is me saying, since I became a dad, I can't figure out when to run. So I used to go running every morning.
Excuse me.
Whoa.
And then I would go... and then once my daughter was born, that kind of flew out the window, and I could never find a time to just get that schedule to work. And I'm actually now in a place where it is working, where my office has hired a coaching company to do a Couch to 5K an ongoing Couch to 5K program for the employees in my company, which is divided up into three groups: a group of walkers who are just getting, just trying physical activity for the first time, like during the workday ever. Walkers to runners who they walk a little, they run a little, they walk a little, they run a little, and then a straight running group. And when I went to check it out, I had my expectations very low. I thought it was just going to be a volunteer from the company, you know, leading this, but they actually hired a very good coaching group, and I absolutely love it. So 2 days a week I run with them.
Is that at lunch or is it after?
That's at lunch.
Oh, great.
So that's at lunch. We run for half an hour. We go 15 minutes. Oh, we actually go 14. No, we go 16 minutes out, and then we try to get back in 14 minutes. And a lot of times I'll lead the pack, and I'll then just add a little more distance onto it.
Right. We're waiting for others coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun, and it's nice also the camaraderie of, like, you know, seeing coworkers who are exercising for the first time in years.
It reminds me of the WeWork thing, which we'll talk about later, that I'm working on as far as the corporate wellness piece of this, having that life balance, which when you have a job or several jobs and kids or several kids and double parent household, single parent, all the struggles, all the time constraints, it is nice to be efficient where if you have a company that supports that life balance and health and wellness. Obviously, you're going to be a more productive employee, hopefully. Yeah. I applaud your MTA for doing that.
Yeah, and then in the other days of the week, I go running at the gym, and I do that during my lunch too. I finally found like a nice schedule for weekday running where I feel like I'm getting the most out of it, and I'm able to run 5 out of 7 days a week.
And you're not like not helping out in the morning because you're out running, you're able to tag team with your wife as far as the, you know, get Violet ready for school or...
Right. So, I'm able to take care of all my duties at home in the morning because I'm not out, you know, running around the park.
Like I am. Thank you, Caitlin, for allowing me to...
But you run around the park professionally, so...
Yeah, there's definitely a work component to it, for sure, which it definitely helps.
It's such a juggle in the morning getting... three people out the door, especially when one of the persons can't get herself together by herself.
Julie, God.
Wow. <That's>
like... It's really my...
Just because she doesn't listen to the podcast doesn't mean you can say things about your wife like that. But... Oh, boy.
No, my wife's the best.
So for New York, you're obviously going to be healthy, which is my goal for runners, is like get the starting line healthy.
Yeah.
And then obviously have a time goal. A goal doesn't mean you have to have the fastest time goal. Maybe it's a break five, so you don't want to be in the 5 hour club if you're Brian in this current cycle. At least, and again, it's also Reykjavik has never been your a race, you know,
right.
Berlin, even if Berlin becomes a training run for New York,
or so Berlin or New York, one of them,
right?
Hopefully, Berlin, but we'll see if I have to push it on to New York and call Berlin a training run too. But you know, my goal is now not really to PR this year. I'm just
do you find
not
some freedom
it.
There, like is it
or... for Reykjavik? I do in that. I mean, I don't want to just completely fall apart, but not having a time goal is pretty nice that I'm not putting, I really have no pressure.
Right.
And I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks beforehand that just ends in the race. So
oh, nice.
I know I'm not going to, I mean, it's taper time anyway, but you know I'm not going to really worry about my training that 2 weeks.
Right.
But for Berlin and New York, it's not so much, I really want a PR because I just haven't had that kind of year or what really it's just been the last 2 months. So we'll see what happens in the next 2 months. But, you know, still my goal is just let's get under 4 again. And if a PR happens, so be it.
Right.
But another thing that we haven't really talked about is just, and that a lot of especially first-time marathoners, is this summer, like every summer in New York and probably everywhere, has been extremely hot, extremely humid. It felt nice walking here today, walking 2 miles here, but I was sweating immediately just from the humidity. So it's so hard to gauge what's going to happen on race day in the fall from your summer training.
And I've noticed this summer is a little bit different. Maybe it's just bad memory, but usually it's hot, humid, and you kind of get take some time to acclimate to it. And I would say I'm a pretty good runner in the heat eventually. I'm pretty bad. But this has been tricky because even when we ran on Sunday – from the Brooklyn Running Company, Billy and 100 Camp 100, it was quite surprisingly nice, because the day before was club champs, that team was champs, which day. Was awful.
Yeah.
Humidity was 94%. I was telling my team, because I managed that team, it's 74 degrees, great. It was like so humid, and it's not an easy course. It's August. So then the next day was like really pleasantly surprising. We were also running bridges. We were near the water. It was a nice breeze for most of the run, but which was great. But you almost can't get used to the humidity because you have these random days of perfect weather, which you want to bottle up and use every day. But I feel like it does play with the mind and body, you know, as far as you can't get fully acclimated because it's kind of like here and there, although it is getting more and more warm and humid, I guess, with August coming up.
Yeah, one thing that I feel I don't think about as much, and I bet a lot of people don't think, is that the humidity just makes it harder to breathe.
Right.
So you think about how hot it feels. You think about how sweaty you are. But it just – I've had a couple runs lately where I just couldn't get my breath under me at all. And I'd be running – you know, I should be running 30 seconds a mile faster, but I just can't get that breath.
Some of that, I think, if we talked earlier, was that some of your runs are – with your schedule, you're not
being
a teacher. You're not, running at 5 a.m. or in the evening. You might be running during the day, which I think I noticed that yesterday. I ran 2 or 3 miles yesterday just so I could have an easy run between the intervals on Tuesday off the hook. And we started doing tempo runs again in Prospect Park, which is kind of like pseudo off the hook and pseudo other groups. And it was super soupy today, and like you're soaking wet after the first mile, but it wasn't super hot.
Right.
And you can breathe pretty well. You were just like soaked. Yeah. And then yesterday I ran at like 11 because I was just getting a couple miles in. And it was raining in the morning and I was a wimp and didn't go to the Mirror Project, so I wasn't very weatherproof. And I was like, wow, it's really warm. Like, so 11 o'clock versus 6:30.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying you should get up 6:30 because like your schedule is a little bit easier. But get that workout or run in early because it's so much better.
Well, my
that's why you were probably at the gym, right?
Yeah, my lunchtime runs. Yeah, I do the Tuesday, Thursday lunch runs with my company because I think it's a great program and I want them to keep renewing it. And they've now extended it out. It was going to be a 10-week program. It's now been extended out through October because a lot of people are showing up to it. So I don't want to bail on that and go to the gym and hang out in the air conditioning. I'll run in the humidity. I'll run in the heat. I look like I just climbed out of the river when I'm done. And I do clean off for my coworkers before I head back to the office. Those other days when I'm running, it really is hot out at 12, 1, 2 in the afternoon. So I'll head to the gym. And that also lets me catch up on The Americans on Amazon Prime.
Hey. Which is, they film some of those episodes right by Off the Hook Track Club.
It's a great place to do your Russian Mafia deals.
There's some lead poisoning, and then you can get intervals. And there's a Kia.
The series stars live in the Red Hook, Brooklyn Heights area, too.
And then just go get yourself an end table.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Or some meatballs.
Meatballs. I mean, exactly.
No, at IKEA. I thought you meant just like off the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah.
No, IKEA, yeah.
That's the other thing about this summer, I was definitely more consistent last summer, and I noticed I definitely did acclimate to the heat. And I feel that, you know, those runs in the hot weather paid off a little bit and made me feel a little better about running in the heat. And then every year, once the weather cools down, you just feel like you instantly go to another level.
Yeah. It's almost like altitude training.
Yeah.
It's like you're in worse shape, even if you're in pretty good shape, like Billy's saying, for example. But he's going to be in better shape, if I do a good job coaching. But he'll be in much better shape in September than he was in July because he's doing longer runs, maybe adding some tempo runs in. And,
that's what I'm hoping when I get to the 50-degree Quebec temperatures, that my 9-minute miles feel like an 8-minute mile now.
Right.
And so, or I guess vice versa. And when I'm running at 9 minutes now, will be my running at 8 minutes then. So
hopefully, maybe it'll give me
a nice boost, or maybe I'll just completely bonk, and we'll see.
And what's nice about the New York City Marathons, they don't allow a stroller, so I'm going to have to leave my daughter at home, and I'll not be able to, move furniture for 26 miles.
That's true.
So I feel like that would be, I tell people, I'm like, every mile you run with the running stroller feels like 2 miles.
Yeah.
It is tough, and when I see parents out there with, like, the double stroller, the triple stroller, I, like, almost pause and clap for them.
I was doing a tempo run today, and we were running probably, I would say close to 6-minute pace. And I feel like I passed the guy with the stroller, and he was not – I didn't blow by him by any means. I, like, definitely took a while to pass him, and I was like, I've only actually, to be honest, run with Francis in a baby stroller like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
As you see, our baby stroller is folded up for our trip to the Outer Banks. But I'm able to do my running mostly with clients or with groups, and
yeah.
which I can't, you know, bring Francis to most of the time. But it is, the few times I've run with it, I've definitely run, I think I've run like, definitely north of 10 minute pace. And Billy,
yeah.
I've seen you run, you're definitely running faster than 10 minute pace, so.
Yeah, it felt good to pass people on the Williamsburg Bridge and climb.
Think they curse at you because you're like, carrying a small child.
Well, especially because my child is also laughing with glee. Because she loves it. For her, it's a real
She's high in Vita Coco.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also true.
Yeah, she's high in coconut water. And I did pause.
She's drinking her pina coladas.
During the long runs, anytime we had to pause at a light, you know, I'd go into pit crew mode and like offer her a Vita Coco and, you know, make sure everything was okay for her. And then once the light turns green, pack that all back up and off we would go. But she treats these runs almost like a half roller coaster ride, half double decker tour bus.
Hey,
she's pointing out things we see. We go over the
bridge.
It's
free,
like,
right?
Water, water. You know, we
wind
pass
blowing
it.
Through her hair.
Yeah, every dog
beautiful views.
Pass. Yeah, it's she enjoys it, and I enjoy it too because I love spending time with her and I love running, and this gets to combine two of my loves.
Great, we're talking about it now. We like to talk, and then we're drinking beer, which is great.
There's really
That's
nothing I love more than talking.
That's way too true. John, have we really talked? We mentioned it many times. Have we really talked about what the Hunter Camp 100 is?
I guess not officially. Definitely alluded to it. So obviously, I did a lot.
John's trying to get down to 100 pounds.
Yeah. So
can I get a point of order here? Is it the Hunter Camp 100 or the Hunter Camp 100? Because I've heard you say both.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll have to have a poll.
Nice.
We'll put a poll out there on the run chat. I listen to a lot of sports radio, and it's always like, "Oh, put that on the poll," and it's like, you know, Superman's gonna beat Wonder Woman or something. Whatever the poll is, I never like see what the results of the poll are, but it's the Dan Le Batard show. It's always like, "Hey, put that on the poll. Is it Hunter Camp 100 or Hunter Camp 100?"
No, so, I've been calling it the Hunter Camp 100, but then during the long run on Sunday, a few times you said Hunter Camp 100. I'm like, that's a nice alliteration. I like that.
Yeah, so we'll, jury's out on that, so if you want to chime in. But I did a ton of coaching at New York Roadrunners and launched a virtual trainer and launched group training. And I literally was, for marathon season, it was almost like my tax season. I would literally coach 5,000 runners. And at the time, initially, there was no other coaching staff. It was just me. And it was a lot of emailing and talking to runners and, so then last year, the first year kind of off my own, I didn't do a ton of coaching. I would lead groups and I would do some different things that wasn't set coaching for a set event. But then this year, I feel like I got a lot of requests. Hey, are you coaching anymore? And so in the past, I've realized that it's almost easier to coach 100 runners than it is 10.
Hmm.
Because, yeah, it does take longer to coach 100 because you're talking to 100 people. But long runs, for example, we probably had 20 or 25 people from the Hunter Camp 100 show up to the Brooklyn Running Company, and we had a great run. If I was coaching 10 and I had wanted to do something in person, it would probably be 3 people showing up, and then you're running different paces. The workouts are pretty similar. I've designed certain templates, but then obviously I have to work with each individual to tweak that and make it kind of their own. But yeah, I feel like, you know what, I'm going to coach 100 people versus 10, and that's the Hunter Camp 100 that we're doing now.
Are you taking that
you
new?
Keep going
now, well, I want to see, you know, what how many listeners we get.
I just put the poll up.
You're
poll
quite
live
the, you're
for
quite the fence sitter.
For Hunter Camp 100 listeners. The Hunter Camp 100 poll is live.
I
in the Hunter Camp
100
group.
I definitely have a preference, and I don't want to sway the poll by saying which one.
I honestly don't know which way I had said it before you brought it up.
Same.
Are you taking new applicants, or are you...
I do have a space for some folks. I mean, I feel like I have a little bit over 100 with some of the other groups combined, like the Make It Nice team, which is Daniel Humes, the Madison Park group. There's 23 people running.
I'm going to do an on-location run chat at...
I know. I love Madison Park.
Well, that's a great idea.
Did you see me in the Instagram last week where I was running at 1 in the morning?
Yes.
I think I'm still reeling from that. from like.
I'm still reeling from the fact that you were biking down the West Side Highway and FaceTimed us.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was
good.
That was odd.
I was like, John, how many beers in are you that you're like FaceTiming and biking?
I'm just very talented.
I was like, you're gonna die. I'm
up. At least it was.
We needed to do some of the precursory work here for this podcast.
Yeah. It was on the bike path, not on a road.
No, it was on the West Side Highway.
Yeah. So I feel at least a little good about it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But, coaching 100-plus folks for mainly New York, but some folks are training for Berlin, Chicago, and Philly, and other fall halves and fulls. And
Hamptons Marathon, that's a fun one. Hamptons that was my long training run 2 years ago.
That's a very good one. That's a good friend out there. But, yeah, it's really just, I was a closed Facebook group. I designed a couple of programs. My friend Don made them look pretty because they're really just PDFs. And then we kind of work with each individual. I have a lot of the athletes that if you saw the other day, I posted really like a example of what people have been sending me, like a little kind of a like worksheet, Excel spreadsheet where they put in their times. Because people ask me, what do you think I can run? Can I break 4? Can I break 3:30? Or can I break 5? And to be honest, I'm like, yeah, I know I'm your coach as for a week. No idea what you can run because I don't know a lot about you.
Right.
And as we train and you give us some data, some feedback, we could zero in on that time goal. So,
and I think 2 years ago when we started this podcast, we had, a 3-episode arc about the New York City Marathon. If anybody wants to go back in their iTunes or whatnot archives. But one piece of advice I probably gave out back then that I've noticed over the years is on setting goals was it's, you can do all the training in your plan. You can do so much. And I'm sure your plan has, I know it has more tempos than I had done when I first started training. But it's those long tempos to me that show, can you hold that pace for 10 miles versus can you hold a casual pace for your 20-mile run?
Right.
That didn't really help me set the goals. It's those longer tempos, those 10-mile faster
runs.
Some
interval work I realized this week, it's actually been fun because I'm kind of following along with 100K 100. And so I'm doing the same workouts. Off the hook, we did a workout the other day. We did a mile repeat starting at tempo pace, and then people ran at tempo today. Mm. And obviously different weather and different things, but I was able, people reported back to me where their first mile in the mile repeat, which was supposed to be tempo pace, was pretty close to what they were finishing, their 4 to 6 mile tempo that we did today in Prospect Park. And so it just kind of reaffirms, and I'll tweak different scales that I use and different conversions, but obviously it's there's a general thumb of how to convert certain things and how to predict certain times, but there's all these variables and all these different components that come into play. But it's definitely worth 3 weeks in, and it's been pretty fun to meet new people through the 100K 100, but also to connect with people like Billy on a weekly basis that are following it, because I send a weekly email out, then people email me back. I'll post things on the closed Facebook group. And ideally, each week, more and more people kind of connect each other with each other within, whether it's on virtual Facebook page or it's in person. Like this today, we had a couple people out there running, Temple Run together, and I think they were new to each other as far as running partners. And luckily, a couple of them were the same pace, so they did their first kind of real tempo, strength in numbers, and then I was doing some of the number crunching afterwards. That's where I get really dorky and geeky.
Yeah,
or more dorky and geeky about running is when you actually see the data in front of you and you can see trends and pinpoint, and I say mistakes, but just different data points that maybe tell a different story than the overall time. It's kind of how you got there. And that's for example, the marathon is I've seen things where I think one of these days, like a couple years ago, I did something for TCS and the app where it was like negative split tracking and different insights. Mm-hmm. And I found two people that ran 4 flat. But one like ridiculously positive splitted, which most people will do a positive split, and someone like I don't know what they were doing, or maybe they were running with a friend, or maybe they were doing the Foot Locker or Burrow challenge where they have to stay together for half the race and then someone can take off. But it literally was like one was trending like 4:30, one was trending 3:30.
Oh wow!
And then they both ran 4, but it was like one had like a nice time, like negative splitting and probably feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And one went out way too fast and just like crashed and burned.
Sure.
There's different ways of getting to 4 hours or whatever your time is. But in the training, you can get different insights on what maybe is might cause you issues as far as, so there's general data stuff, but there's also kind of devil in the details a little bit. But we'll get to there with each runner each week when you get more insight and more data that comes in.
So I've done both. both of those examples, the going out too hard and then crashing at like mile 19 or 20. And it feels awful.
Yeah, it's like never doing this again.
But you feel amazing at the start of the race. And I've done the opposite the 2 years ago, my injury year, where I was so ginger about, like, am I going to be able to finish 26.2 miles on this ankle, that I started in my normal corral, but just let people pass me by. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try to catch these people later.
Right.
And it was funny, a friend...
And he actually wrote down on his hand with a Sharpie that... bib numbers the people he's going to catch.
It was like said, memento.
Yep, check them off, check them off. And the entire
friend,
race.
A friend saw me on 4th Avenue, probably around like mile 4, and he's like, I'll be like, I'll run for you a little bit. And I was like, okay, cool, just so you know, I'm going a little slow though. And after maybe like quarter mile, half mile, he's like, all right, I'll catch you later. And I'm pretty sure I ended up catching him, but like late in the race. Like
he was not so bubbly, right?
Yeah, it was, we were coming, you know, into the park, you know, off 5th Avenue, and I ended up catching him in the park, and I felt amazing. I think it was a 9-minute negative split.
Wow.
That year. So I have to say, like, after years, I think that might have been the only time I negative split the marathon out of 8 times, and it is fantastic.
Was your time, like, obviously your time was slower than it was in your PR race, but was it faster than you thought you were going to run, or did you
it
just,
was faster
you just
than
wanted to finish? And
I just wanted to finish.
And you're like,
it was faster than I thought I would run. I did just want to finish. It actually ended up being my slowest marathon, but that has more to do with lack of training due to injury than, you know, intentionally keeping it slow for the negative split. I'd like to negative split again this year. That I think that's my... A goal is to get to the start line healthy. B goal is the negative split.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what time. I don't have a specific time in mind. 3:27 is my PR. Anything over 4 hours, I think I'd be disappointed in. So somewhere in between there.
Excellent. Well, hopefully your coach does what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. I have faith in him. Yeah, the guy came up with a group that was alliterative. He wasn't like the honor camp in 99. You know?
Yeah, come on. Well, the Michelob Ultra came out with a...
Michelob
95, like 3 weeks later. I was like, that's genius.
I did see that. I was like, John's doing 5 more. He's not a giant corporation.
Exactly.
It's true. I'm sure Michelob has more than one coach.
Yeah, we're not even drinking Michelob. I just like to point that out.
That's true. We are drinking today. This podcast is sponsored by Victory Limey Goza. Goza is a German word.
Why isn't it pronounced goose?
Because it's a German word. And it's, as you can tell from the label that says Sour Lime Bier. Beer, B-I-E-R, German spelling.
So is B-I-E-R pronounced buyer or just beer?
Beer.
Like peer? Is peer a German word?
Peer's a French word? Like Pierre?
Pierre.
Let's edit this part out. but anyway, this is a nice little, a Goza is a salty, sour beer.
I love sour beers.
They're very good.
I've definitely heard a lot of Gozi, Goss.
I've heard many
iterations of that.
I definitely said it wrong. I'm not trying to be superior, at least this time.
But it's
super.
I've definitely said it wrong for
it's
a while.
It's
Goza.
Goza.
Like the villain in Ghostbusters.
Goza. That's Gozer.
Yeah, that's what
makes oh. Goza.
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 So yeah, I'm New York born and bred, but this Victory Limey Goza, it's good. Victory, if you want to send us cases of beer, we'll gladly provide you our address.
And we're also sponsored by Ellie's Bar and Tavern in John's basement.
I keep wanting to say bar and grill. There's no grill down here yet.
The grill is outside.
Yeah, it's actually outside.
Yeah,
We have some goldfish that we're not eating.
And we have some very noisy potato chips that we've been refraining from snacking.
And we have this great refrigerator.
That's true.
Zip it. Open. Visual jokes are great on a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, but then you have this. That sounds so good.
Yeah, I'll have one too.
Do you want one?
Delicious.
Here you go.
Actually, thank
you. Right. That's like, another. Do you want some of the, one more?
Billy
Goza.
Okay.
So as we have more beers, I feel like this episode is running its course.
That was
not on purpose.
Which one?
The mine. But I hope everybody's got a handle on their fall marathon training. If you if you go to Run Chat Podcast, find us on Facebook, then you can
brought to you by.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Billy needs some work on his bottle opening. But if you find us and want to ask us any questions on Facebook, if you're running the New York City Marathon, go back in the archives and you can find some advice. Hopefully we record some new episodes.
Mile by mile guide of the marathon?
We have something like that. We have pre, during, post, all sorts of marathon episodes.
And depending on when you hear this, there's definitely the folks that are, it's 13 weeks out from the New York City Marathon and all of a sudden they're following a 12-week program, or they don't like their program and they want to jump ship. You can reach out to Coach John at johnhunterkamp.com and I can hopefully connect you with the right coach.
Yeah, or reach out to Brian Hall and for the Hall 100.
Editor.
Whoa. He's doing the half marathon. It's the Hall half.
The Hall half.
I was going to say the Hall half, that I'm going to train half a person. Meaning I'm going to take one of John's coaches and give them a little conflicting advice and see how it works.
Brian will only train your left half.
But we will have another episode of Run Chat in, I don't know, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. But we promise to have a new episode out after that.
And I know we've made this promise before, and we've broken your heart.
But we've heard you, and we're back.
We've changed. We're back.
Two of us are dads.
It's going to happen. We will reach that goal. It's not an A goal. It's not a B goal. It is the goal.
We're going to hit the Hanukkah Hall Hanahan 100 episodes.
Ooh.
Whoa, all our names are with H. I never realized that.
Triple H. Is that a thing? Is that like a...
It's a wrestler.
Wrestler.
Yeah. Damn it. One of my favorite facts about John's daughters, her initials are alphabetical.
Yeah, FGH.
Wow, I never realized that.
Francie Gracie Honey.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You probably could have.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
All right.
All right. Happy trails.
I do road racing.